This is Daim Shabazz of the Chess Drum. I am in Nassau, Bahamas at the Sheraton Hotel, and we've just completed the Bahamas Open, I believe that's what it was called, and it was won by Jan Liansky, who scored 3.5 out of 4, and actually he beat me in the last round, and I ended with 3, along with 2 other players. I have with me Mr. Warren Seymour, who I would consider a legendary figure in the Bahamas chess, and we'll spend the next few minutes just talking to him about himself, how he got involved in the chess on this island of the Bahamas. First of all, I'd like to say I'm honored to finally have formally met you. I met some of the Bahamas players in 1983 at the World Youth Tournament in Chicago. But I've never been to the Bahamas. This is my first time, and I'd like to first of all thank you for all the great work that you've done so far. Can you give us an idea of how you got started on this journey in chess?
Yes, it was way back in 1954, when I came to training college in Nassau. I went to the library, found a book. A chess book. I knew nothing about chess then, and I was 18. I saw the chess board, and it looked like a game that I used to play, checkers. I just took it up and read it, and learned the moves, how to set up the pieces. I even went and bought a cheap plastic set, and learned how the pieces move, and took it from there. A few years later, after teaching for some years in the Bahamas, in Nassau, I got an in-service award to England, and I got a chance to play lots of people who, during the lunch break, we'd get in the British Council and play chess with people who knew the game, and that was my grounding. I learned most of the basics and the good things from them in that year that I had, and I was able to boast when I came back home that I drew one game with a fellow who had been playing since he was a 6-year-old in Germany. But there are other people that I beat, but I consider that quite an achievement, playing somebody who, at that time, looking back now, I would say he was an expert. Mm-hmm. And to draw with him, I thought that was quite an achievement. But that was the start. And then, once I moved from the Family Islands to New Providence, and I joined the local, it was called the Bahamas Chess Association then. We became a member of FIDE in 1974, shortly after Lothar Schmidt, who refereed the Fischer-Spassky match in 1972. When he came here just before then and met with us, and that put, I saw how important chess was to the development of young people, and since I knew something about it, I wasn't the best player in the country by far, because there were people older who started the Chess Association, and I learned a lot from them. But when I became the tournament director in 1974, and still doing some work in that department, I thought I owed it to the young people to share what I knew of a game that I saw could enrich their lives if they approached it in the right way, you know. And well, as they say, the rest is history. I keep doing it, you know, because I enjoy what I do. Even had a stint at the prison. Some very, very smart people are there, of course. They play good chess too. But, and that's where it all began. But any other questions about any other things in the interval?
You had mentioned that you had played in some tournaments in the United States. Could you share with us some of your playing experiences?
Well, mainly it was the World Open that caught my attention once I subscribed to USCF. It was called Chess Review in the early days, USCF magazine, and I became a member, and I went there, and I was sent by the Federation, just paid my own way, and on a few occasions, one of the, if not the leading player, is the highest rated player in the country right now, Frank Gibson, but he hasn't played in recent years. He accompanied me on two occasions. On another occasion at the New York Open, Mr. Cox, he was a former champion. Frank has been champion about four times, Bahamas champion, Frank Gibson, Valentine Cox. I played in the New York Open about two times on two occasions, but the World Open in Philadelphia was my bag. Well, I like that, and it only stopped when I opted to help one of my friends with his camp, the summer camp with young people, and since he offered chess as one of the things, then I accepted right away. And wherever chess was offered, you know, I didn't hesitate to help out if I could.
So in terms of Bahamas Chess, you mentioned that it became a FIDE affiliate in 1974. Where has chess gone on the island since that time? I know that I mentioned the 1983 World Youth, but has there been Olympiad participation and some other types of regional tournaments that Bahamas participates in?
Yes, in the more recent times, that is, in the last 4 or 5 years, no big events except for individual members who took it on themselves to go to tournaments in the United States on weekends, the short tournaments, Friday to Sunday. And but in the interim, back in the 80s, we sent a team to the Caribbean Championship, and we did pretty well. Women's team. It wasn't a women's team because it was an individual tournament, but Juliet, I think you've met Juliet, Antoinette, they were the top two boards and they did very well. Antoinette actually won the tournament, the Caribbean English speaking championship in chess. And
that's your daughter.
Yes. So I took my share of licks against her. I was a tournament director, but since I had to be there, I would play. But it's like that Shakespeare said, you better the instruction. I must have taught her well because she had very, very few wins against her. I don't care to say it would be an embarrassment. Yes, but involvement. Otherwise, we had a male contingent also in Jamaica back in the 80s. I think it was 83 or 85, one of those years. The present president, Keen Smith, he was on that trip, and a few others who are not very active now, but it was a good exposure for them, and I think it opened the eyes of the youngsters to what chess was, more than what they thought it was, just playing. The emphasis was on winning rather than just how good you are, really. And that is one of the things I'm working so hard to get the youngsters to see, that is, how good are you rather than who you beat. You can win 500, 1,000 games against people in your school doesn't make you among the best in the country. And that has been my quest, my work for the last, from 74 to now is about 40 odd years, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, so I've been involved with teaching chess around the schools. Didn't get much support from the education department because I wanted to, I would have liked to start out as an itinerant teacher around the island and see how things would build, but they, in all their wisdom, they decided that it would have to be an after-school extracurricular event, and I knew that didn't seem to me, and I proved myself right. It didn't. It wasn't going to work because the kids were really into the American sports, softball, well, not softball so much as basketball and the like, especially basketball. They're not going to stay behind for something they didn't know anything about.
Right.
And so I thought catching them during their lunch break, you got a captive market, and it would have worked better. Looking back, I'm sorry we didn't target the primary schools then, because in the early years of chess in the schools in the Bahamas, it was mainly high school, the high school championships, which started in 1974, actually the year we became a member of FIDE. We've had representation at FIDE, 74, the first year we became, and some success in that. One of our players, who's not active now, he did pretty well on board one. Actually, he was a child prodigy. I didn't know about it then, but...
What was his name?
Elias Antonis. He played board one for the Bahamas, and he was able to draw with an international master. I don't remember the name. I think a Greek international master at the time, which was quite an achievement, we thought. In those days, I think you had an elimination, so you never played through the 13 games like they do now.
Right.
You got eliminated, you come home.
you said Elias. How do you spell his last name?
Antonis, A-N-T-O-N-A-S. I think he's working in the United States, but not in chess.
The tournament in 83, that was the World Youth in Chicago. It's a very interesting tournament. I believe it was under 26, age under 26. I believe at that time the Soviet Union had sent a number of strong players, and I believe they won. Can you describe us that experience of playing in that tournament and what it was like for some of the players that you brought and what their impressions were of that tournament?
It made, that tournament made quite an impression on all of them, I'm sure. And I watched them closely. We had a good start. I think it was our second match against Honduras. Bahamas won 4-0. And of course, all eyes were on us. Well, you beat somebody 4 to nothing, and everybody's looking your way. Who are these? And Bahamas, where's that? You know, people didn't even know where we were. And the very next round, we had to, because you win, you face two matches against weak opponents, we had to play France, and that brought us back down to 8. But it was an eye-opener for all of them, very impressed. And I think it made them see that here in the Bahamas, we had only scratched the surface. You know, there was so much to be done in the game of chess. Luckily, a few of them, mainly Antoinette and Juliet, continued for many years, even while they were in university in Canada. When they're home on vacation, they played in most of the tournaments. And, well, once they became adults and chose their careers, chess had to take second place, unfortunately. It would be good if they could in some way find some time to interact with the youth in some of the schools in some way. And that might cause a kind of a breakthrough. Because nowadays it's very, very difficult to catch the attention of the young people in a game like chess. You have to catch them early. Which is why I said earlier that I am sorry we didn't target the primary schools back in the early 70s. You know, things would have moved, I believe things would have moved further on, because once they get hooked on the game at age 9 and 10, they're likely to stay in it for a long time. You know?
Well, Antoinette was at the closing ceremonies yesterday, and she helped presenting the awards, and apparently there were a lot of people glad to see her, and they were talking about this legendary figure coming to back to visit, and it seemed to me that it inspired a lot of the players in the room. I did meet some of the team members back in Chicago. Percy Rowe, I mentioned Anthony Moss, and Derek Moss. I remember analyzing some games with Anthony, and it was a very spirited exchange, and I really enjoyed that. I understand Juliet, I think she's at a teaching at a university somewhere in the U.S., I believe Connecticut. I had talked to her via email and kind of recounted to her meeting her. We played two games in Chicago at that tournament, two offhand games, and it's very interesting. But where do you see chess going now in the Bahamas? Is it growing? I know there was the Bahamas hosted a zonal tournament, I believe it was last year.
Sub-zonal
tournament. And that was a very big event for the Bahamas, and it gave the island some exposure. Where do you see the Bahamas going in the future?
Well, that particular tournament is sub-zonal, and 2010 opened the eyes of the more experienced players, people like our national master, Byron Small, and Ken Gibson, who has won the national championship two times, so as soon as he applies for his title, he would get it for what it's worth, national master. Yes, and recently Mr. Borg, who is chief executive in FIDE and in charge of chess for schools, he was just here recently, and he held a session mainly with people who submitted themselves to helping out by teaching. And so the program Chess in the Schools should be on its way. We look for improvement. One of the main difficulties is the nature of the country being an archipelago with islands scattered all over the place. It's not easy to, for example, put on a tournament, the national championship can hardly be called national if only players from New Providence are playing in it. And we look forward to the day, not too far away, a few years' time, when it could be held here in Nassau, but you invite the best players in wherever the islands are to, once they qualify to play, to come in, and if the Federation can afford to fit the bill, I think that would be the ideal thing, because to call a tournament national, it should mean that people from at least five or six of the islands are playing in it. Yeah. But the school is where we must look. We must look to the schools, and I think the Federation is on the right track to target the schools. I used to go to the schools for many years, still have. I had to stop in recent months after a setback in my health, where now I do teach a clinic on Saturdays, but people love to come to me. Mountain can come to Muhammad, Muhammad goes to the mountain. So I know now that if they come to my clinic, it's because they want to learn the game. Many of the schools I went to, you know, it's because I was there, they came. Now I know whether they really want to the game or come to me.
Well, I understand that you were a math teacher, and I'm not sure if you've retired or not, but how are you spending your days in the Bahamas? I know you're teaching chess. I mean, are there other activities that you're involved in here?
Yeah, I'm pretty active in in church activities. I belong to the local choir of my church, and in a bigger sense, diocesan choir. I don't pride myself with being among the best of singers, but I do what I can. And well, when I taught on the Family Islands, and the facilities were such that the person in charge, they didn't call him principal, they said head teacher, whatever that meant. But you're not called the principal. You had to teach us about everything. You were like a general practitioner, you know? So we had some very good people. You had to be very good to be posted in the Family Islands, as we called them. They used to be called the Out Islands. Well, the Out Islands, and it had a pretty bad stigma, like they were behind God's back, some of them. And so whoever had a posting in the Family Islands, he had to be weighed his salt, because he had to take on a lot, teach the upper kids for examination, so he had to be versatile to teach quite a number of subjects, general practitioners. So that I think the work of teachers in past years, 20, 30 years ago, or more, even more, go beyond that, they don't get the credit for what they've done as part of the nation building. There's so much talk about nation building, but they seem to be targeting people from the central island of New Providence and that sort of thing. Just watch the honors list and see who on them, and then you understand what I mean. And some of these people are never mentioned, unsung, but you know, and they had to be good to do the job that they did in these far-flung places, you know. A general practitioner is what I called myself then. In New Providence, I taught math, which was very satisfying. You meet people from 20-odd, 30-odd years ago, and they still remember something. They didn't see how important it was then, but, for example, one fellow not long ago told me he now sees what was the point of quadratic equations and that sort of thing. I say, yeah, well, I told you then, it just taught you to think.
Right.
And once you're thinking, you'll find out other things. Yes.
So there seems to always be a connection between chess, mathematics, sciences,
music,
all kinds of arts. Do you have any particular advice for young players coming up now in terms of maybe using chess as a way to improve in certain subject areas?
I preach that to them all the time. One of the questions I ask most of them is, how's your math? And if it's good, I say, well, then you should be able to play chess well. I mean, there's a connection. I think there's a connection between math, music, and chess, because they all have to deal with combinations and seeing things, seeing patterns. And when just recently one of the players in this past tournament, his daughter came by my house, and she played a Beethoven piece. He asked her to play. I had a piano there, and she played a Beethoven piece. And I said, well, and you giving up chess? I said, don't you see the connection? I said, please don't give it up. Go back to it. And what's your math like? And she said, a math. I said, so you see what I mean? And the sciences. And I try to show that any discipline you involve yourself in, which forces you to think, it has to improve the others, because you're not leaving any loose ends, loose strings there. Everything you're questioning, especially in the game of chess, every time your opponent makes a move, you've got to consider what's in his mind. You've got to get in his head, and what is he trying to do? How do you stop him? Because it's a war, only we're not fighting with guns and knives.
Well, that's all the questions I have. It's been a pleasure and actually an honor to have spent these minutes with you, and I wish the Bahamas chess community success in the future, and I hope to return to the island, and I wish you good health and continued success in your chess endeavors.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure to share something of a part of my long life so far, because I'm 74 now. One of the things my doctor told me when I told him of my activities, he said, "You're not 47, you're 74. So you have to cut down some of those things, because I did it religiously, going to, at most times, two schools a day, a primary school when they have their lunch break around midday, and the secondary school or high school around about 1. You arrange it so that you didn't have to drive too far between the two, but still it was hectic. It was very hectic. 16 schools in the course of 4 weeks, and I wouldn't say it took its toll, but it must have. Because I had a fainting spell, and my doctors advised that I lighten up, don't do so much of that. But I'm okay now. I feel okay.
Good.
I don't have an appointment until September. What's it now? April. So
yes.
He must think that I've improved enough I still take things easy. I still have to take my medication and whatnot, but it's the one thing I loathe, taking pills.
We all have. Well, that's going to end our interview, and I'm going to be headed back to the United States, and hopefully we'll have this interview up on the Chess Drum, and we'll have a report of the results of the Bahamas Open. Again, this is Daeem Shabazz at the Chess Drum, and I'm now signing off and leaving the Bahamas. Thank you.